Going back to the text that was read for us in Galatians 5:22, it tells us the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. If somebody asked you, whether it's a friend or whether it's somebody off the street, how would you describe God? What would you say? Would you say that God woke me up this morning? Would you say that God is ever present within your life? Would you let them know what God has done for you? Would you go and say, let me talk to Reverend Wade and I'll get back to you later? What exactly would you say if someone asked you, how would you describe God? And I am sure that we would describe God as many ways as the people that we have here within this room for today. For all of us can remember something about God. But no matter if you look at God as somebody who makes a way, no matter if you tell somebody that God is the creator, no matter if you tell somebody what God has done for me, I'm sure that all of us can agree, like what we heard with the children's sermon, is that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Truly, we worship a God who has brought us from a mighty long way, who has done great things for us, even greater than we could have imagined for ourselves. But yet at the same time, brothers and sisters, as we look at what's going on within the world, going in outside the four walls of where we live, and even in the city and state and nation in which we live in, and even across the world, we may think that God is anything but good. We see that people can't love one another. We see ourselves living in a government that's doing whatever they can to take away privileges and liberties from other people. We find out that even our school systems, and even here in North Carolina, it seems like what people are doing is not good if we think about the effect it has on others. So how can we say that God is good in the midst of all the things that is going on? We find out in the text that God is good. For yet we find out here in this particular situation in Luke 18, verses 18 through 30, as an example. And that's the story of the rich young ruler. And there was a rich ruler who came to Jesus to ask him a question. This person knew about Jesus, didn't know Jesus, but knew about Jesus, and tried to follow the ways of his people for as long as he could. And so he wanted to maybe, in a sense, justify himself. So he went to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you ever had people that come to you asking the question? They already know the answer, but they want you to give them the answer to satisfy themselves. But Jesus tells them, first of all, why do you ask me that? For no one is good but God alone. You see, brothers and sisters, God alone is good. For God has done great things for us. As those in ancient times have testified to the goodness of God, and as we heard in 2 Chronicles, and even as we look back on our lives for today, we can say that not only God is good, it's like the old song, God is so good. Have you ever sang that before within your lives? We know, brothers and sisters, that God is so good because God, first of all, created the whole world. Everything that you see, God had a part in it. And not only did God have a part in it, God had a major part in it. God has created the skies and the water and the mountains and the seas. God created everything that we have and own, and there is nothing that God has not created. People talk about the weather now, and if you stood up or if you had a chance to stay up a little bit last night, did you hear the thunder last night? Did you hear the rain that came and fell upon the earth? Did you look outside and see the thunder and the lightning that was in the clouds? Although it may be something that's scary to us, it's a beautiful, in a sense, because God has made and is still creating things today. You see, brothers and sisters, God is the creator of all things. And for that in itself, it's good, because if you look at it, God also created you and me. Now, if we look at ourselves, we put ourselves down. We look in the mirror all the time trying to compare ourselves to other people, thinking that we're not as good as somebody else. But God loved you just as you are. God made you good. Some of you in here know what it was like back in the days of the civil rights movement, even beforehand, how people would talk about you because of the color of your skin, that you were no good. And we told them that God is good. And we found out that we are beautiful just as we are. That nobody can tell you that you are nothing, because we understood back then and we understand now that God didn't make no junk. Brothers and sisters, we understand that God is good. For everything that we have, everything that we own, everything that we are is of God. And for that alone, if it wasn't for God creating us, we would not be here today. So brothers and sisters, just for that alone, God is good, because God is the creator of all things. And yet we are also praising God because God is good, because God claimed the people. God claimed, first of all, within the text, God claimed Abraham and Abraham, or Abram's family, and brought them out of Ur and brought them to a land that God had for them. God chose you. You see, whether you're from a denomination, or whether you're Presbyterian, or whether you didn't go to church at all, you didn't come and join the church. You didn't come here this morning all dressed up, one, to see your friends and family members, maybe hear a word from the preacher, maybe hear some music from Mr. Little. You didn't do that by yourself. It was the Holy Spirit that woke you up this morning. It was the Holy Spirit that directed you to the clothes that you put on this morning. Because some of you this morning, you know, you were standing in the mirror, I'm going to put on this dress, or I'm going to put on this pair of slacks. You didn't make that decision by yourself. It was the Lord that helped you make that decision. You see, it was God that chose you. Yes, little old you. For some of you who believe that you were important, or some of you who believe that you were nothing, it was God that chose you today. It was God that woke you up this morning and sent you on your way. You see, it was God that brought you out of the world. And let's face it, not everybody in here has been in church all their lives. Some of people in here are perpetrating. Some of us are perpetrating, saying that we have been in church all of our lives. We remember when Mama and Daddy took us to revival. We were in church from sun up to sundown. Some of you did, but you know, some of y'all left the church. And then you decide to do things on your own. You know how it is when you get to the point where you're out of high school, you're going to college away from your parents and your support system. And then you wouldn't do your own thing. Now, if you were fortunate, you might have been to church once or twice. But you know that somehow along the way, God called you back into a relationship with God, because you found out that what you thought was good out there in the world wasn't good enough to you. And you were tired of that. And you had a God that brought you back into the fold of God's people. See, just like God chose Abram and Abram's people, God chose you. And some of us spend our lives trying to run from God. But yet, you can only run so far and so high and so deep, because there is a God who claims us no matter where we are. God is the only one that we know that we cannot hide from. It was a God that brought us out of the miry clay and put us on top of a rock to stay. It was God who allowed us, even within our sinful state, even when we disobeyed people, even when we said we were going to do something and didn't do it, even when we said we did do it and we didn't do it well, it is still this God that loves you. And for that alone, also, God is good. And yet, brothers and sisters, as we know that God is the creator, and as we know that God chose a people from Abram unto us, we say that God is good because God is merciful. Is God not merciful? If you look back on your lives and see what God has done, oh my goodness, if it wasn't for the grace of God, so goes I. Oh, brothers and sisters, we know, like I said earlier, you know what God has done for you. And we see even within the text what God has done with Abram and Moses and the other patriarchs. Because even Moses himself complained about the people. Lord, you sent me some stiff-necked people who are hard-headed and don't want to listen. And some of us who are pastors today can probably say the same thing. And then some of you could probably say the same thing about some of us who are pastors today. Why in the world did you call me to this place? These people won't listen to me, Lord. They won't listen to you, Lord. They don't know you, Lord. But you know, it's only by God's grace and mercy that we keep on going. See, somehow as Christians, we have this thought that just because we give our lives to God, everything's going to be all right. That everything's going to be perfect. That everybody's going to listen to you. That everybody's going to follow your ways. But let me tell you, I've got a different word for you today. Because everybody's not going to listen to you. Everybody have good intentions. But everybody's not going to listen to you. Matter of fact, everybody's not going to know about God. And everybody's not going to act like they know God, even in church. It is only through God's mercy and God's grace that we're able to live and to breathe and to have our being today, brothers and sisters. Even as Moses and the others had complained about the people, God was still merciful. And even God told them that I'm going to destroy these people because they are no good. But yet God still walked with us. And that same mercy we are called to share with other people in the world today. For yet, brothers and sisters, the truth of it is that although we know that God is good, we are unable to do good on our own. Going back to the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus told him, you know what you need to do. You need to know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness and honor your father and your mother. And I'm sure that as Jesus was talking to this ruler had this checkbox going off in his head, did he not? He said, well, I've not committed adultery. I have not stolen. I have not murdered. I have never lied. I've honored my father and my mother. And he's thinking, well, then I have the path to eternal life. But just when we think we've done good in our lives, even when we think that we have crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, even when we think we have done everything that God has told us, God always has something else. For yet we find out here in the text that the young ruler was told, you have done all these things. They may be true. But what you have to do now is go sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. And the young man couldn't do it. He couldn't give of the things that he had. We can't do good on our own, brothers and sisters. And don't let anybody else tell you anything different. You see, we can't be good with one another. You have to be able to like one another to get along with somebody else. You have to be able to understand that if we call ourselves good, how can we do so when we can't even stand one another? As we look out on the world and see all the fighting that's happening within society, and not only is it happening within society, believe it or not, it's also happening here within the church. We've said we love God, but God says, how can you love me when you can't even love your neighbor? How is it, brothers and sisters, that we know what God has called us to do and be and how we're supposed to act good and follow goodness, but we can't even do it on our own? We find out that being good is a hard, hard thing to do. I was shaken, and many of you may have been shaken this week, by the story of Chris and Shannon Watts in Colorado. You may have heard the story of this young man who killed his pregnant wife and two daughters and left them in the field in Colorado where he worked. And he had the nerve that once they were missing, that he got on TV and pleaded for whoever did this to bring them back. Knowing the whole time, he did it on his own. We find out that even within our churches, brothers and sisters, we can't do good because somebody did something to us that we don't even like. We find out today that we can't do good because sometimes the world doesn't teach us good. We find out, even in certain situations where we're supposed to do good, people will give you a pass. I cannot tell you the number of people that I know of who try to do well on their taxes. People don't like the IRS, and they want to fill out their taxes. And people encourage you to cheat a little bit to get something. And we will take that opportunity to do so instead of doing what is good and what is right. You see, we find out that as Paul had written in the Romans, see, the thing that we want to do, we can't do. And the very thing we don't want to do, we do. We find out, brothers and sisters, that we are encapsulated by sin. And we're influenced by other things. And we try to do as much as we want to do by ourselves to do good. We just can't do it on our own. Because we're incapable because of the flesh in which we live in. And the state of sin in which we have found ourselves. But yet, although we can't do good, there is still hope. Because we follow somebody who can. And that somebody for us is Jesus. And we understand that Jesus is good. Jesus is good because Jesus loves us. Yes, Jesus loves you. Just as you are. Jesus loved you when you came out of the womb. And Jesus loved you from the day that you will go and leave this place. We believe in a love that Jesus, that encompasses everything that we are, our whole being, that surrounds us. Jesus loves us. See, if nobody else loves you, Jesus does. Jesus loves you. And what the world wants to hear is somebody that loves them. In the midst of everything that's going on within our lives, going to work, taking care of families, paying bills, sometimes we get depressed, upset, disturbed, because no one cares for us. Some people are living in relationships, married relationships, or whatever the relationship, thinking that the other mate loves them, finding out that the other mate doesn't care for them. Some people are living in existences where they think there is love, or they have a wrong definition of love. But brothers and sisters, nobody can love you like Jesus does. Jesus paid the price for you to give his life that you may have eternal life. Jesus loves you. And Jesus forgives you. Talking about doing good, we can't forgive other people. But yet Jesus forgives you. Each and every Sunday we come to this congregation. As a part of our liturgy, we always pray the prayer of confession. And we do it not only corporately, we also do it individually. So by the time you leave this place, all your sins should have been covered. I know we don't give you a whole lot of time. It's only how much? You only pray so much as the music that Mr. Little gives you. But some of you need a whole lot more than that. But you know God loves you and God forgives you. We serve a God who's gracious and merciful and forgiving. Imagine worshiping Jesus who loves you when you know you didn't do right. Imagine somebody like Jesus loves you when you know you lied, when you knocked over somebody's car, or when you said something bad about them. When they said, "What'd you say?" "Oh, I didn't say nothing about you." Imagine that Jesus forgives you for what we think is unforgivable. And for so many people who are holding some things in, thinking that I am so terrible that there's no way that Jesus will ever forgive me for what I have done. Imagine that there is somebody who forgives you, even when we think that there's nothing that Jesus can do for us. Brother and sister, we serve a God, through God's Son Jesus, who loves you and forgives you. Whatever you have done and whatever you have left undone, God still forgives you. There is nothing that you can do or can't do that Christ won't forgive you for. Now, truly, God's not going to be happy about it. There's no doubt. But is the ever-flowing love of God given on the cross that we may have everlasting life, brothers and sisters? That is the love and the forgiveness that Christ has for us within our lives. And yet, also, we know that Jesus is good because we are strengthened by God. Here's a story. Randy Alcorn has his book called, the name of the book is called What God Is Good. And in it, he talks about his friend is named Ethel Hur. And so Ethel had a double mastectomy at one point. And then 2 months later, the doctors had discovered that the cancer had spread. And one of her friends in shock asked her, "And how do you feel about God now?" Can you imagine someone asking her, "How do you feel about God now through all that you have been through?" And she says this, "As I sought to explain what has happened in my spirit, it all became clear to me. God has been preparing me for this moment. He has undergirded me in ways I've never known before. He has made himself increasingly real and precious to me. He has given me such joy as I've never known before, and I have no need to work at it. It just comes, even amidst all of the tears. He has taught me that he will lead me on whatever journey he chooses and will never leave me for a moment of that journey. God is good no matter what the diagnosis or the prognosis or the fearfulness of the uncertainty of having neither." It is this God that gives us strength, even in the midst of the terrible things that happen within our lives. It is this God that continues to be present with us even through the hardships, even when you didn't have any money, even when you didn't think how you were going to get into school. It is this God that still strengthens us even through the loss of a mother or a father or a loved one. It is still Jesus who strengthens us even as we're trying to struggle every day, just trying to make ends meet. It is this Jesus that strengthens us even in the midst of going through depression, even going through tiredness, even going through the lack of what everybody else has. It is this Jesus that still strengthens us, brothers and sisters. And for all those things, God is good. And yet, the hope of all this is to understand that although we can't do goodness by ourselves, it is the Holy Spirit that allows us to do things that are good. You see, even in the Bible, the woman who came to Jesus and anointed her feet with her tears did something good. There was a story on CBS this morning, just a few days ago, and it talked about this young boy at a baseball park in Detroit. He was at this pro game, seeing the Detroit Tigers, and what had happened, it was just a regular shot. If you look at baseball, you see a player hit the ball, and the ball goes foul, and then someone catches it, and everybody cheers. Hey, someone caught this foul ball. Well, what had happened was, this particular time, this batter had hit, a foul ball. And it went into the stands, and this man caught it. And so he raises up, and instead of going back to the pitcher and the batter, they kept a camera over here in the stands. And what had happened was this man who had caught the ball had given it to this 10-year-old boy. And so what the boy did is he had found out that a few rows in front of him, there was a 7-year-old boy who was having a birthday. And so when that boy caught the ball, he went down, and he gave this ball to the boy. Now, this boy was a complete stranger, y'all. He didn't know this boy from Adam. And so what the boy did was he got up, and he shook this other boy's hand. The 7-year-old shook the 10-year-old boy's hand and went on about his business, and he hugged his mama and everything of that nature. Well, what happened was there was a reporter from CBS this morning who had talked to both of the boys the following day or so. And he had told or asked the young 10-year-old, "Why did you give that ball to the 7-year-old? And we'll come to find out, the 10-year-old said one time he was at a minor league ball game. And then the ball was hit foul, and this man had caught it and gave it to him. So he wanted to pass it along to somebody else. And then they talked to the 7-year-old. "Well, how did you feel getting this ball?" He said, "I felt great giving this ball." And but he said, "You know, I went to a game the next day, and what happened was, a foul ball was hit in the same area. A man caught it, gave it to him, but he had found out that there was a young girl younger than him, and this was her very first baseball game. And what he did was he gave his ball to her so she could have her first baseball. See, we can do good, but we don't do it on our own. It is the Holy Spirit that allows us to do the good work of God within the world for today. And see, brothers and sisters, what we have to do, remember today, the goodness of God within our lives. See, you can't do good if you don't know good. And the world will tell you what they would think is good. Do things on time. Be on time. Be nice. And all that stuff is important. But what's most important is what we do for the Lord and following what God has for us in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember how good God has been to you. See, you can't be good to somebody else unless you know what God has done for you. Remember in your life what God has done for you, how God has brought you out, how God has delivered some of you. See, everybody in here wasn't born with a silver spoon. Well, no, nobody in here was born with a silver spoon within their mouths. But God is still good and still graciousness. The fruit of the Spirit today, brothers and sisters, is goodness. And remember, as you go forth into the world today, it's not anything that you do on your own, because we don't do anything on our own. Our goodness comes from our sovereign Lord who gave his life for us. Brothers and sisters, like the young people say, it is all good. And may you remember that the goodness didn't come from you, but it came from the one who created and made you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our invitational hymn is 388.